I'm the dude. So that's what you call me.
Are you a virgin?
Yeah, not since I was 10.
Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret.
Come out to the coast. We get together, have a few laughs.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
Can I return it if it doesn't fit?
It always fits. Eventually.
Welcome back to Movie Mingle. I'm Caveman.
And I'm Maggie.
And today we're on episode 48.
Wow.
And we're doing 2001's Shrek.
A classic for a reason.
You know, I feel very happy that I've been able to live through some like really legitimate animated classics.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was, you know, seeing Lion King
yeah.
in theater, Aladdin in the theater.
Little Mermaid. Yeah.
Even in the later years with Toy Story.
Up, you know, Moana, Frozen, all of them. Yeah, we've seen a lot of great Disney films over the years.
A lot of amazing Disney films.
And this is probably the greatest anti-Disney film ever made.
Made by Disney people.
Yes. Yeah, who were themselves so fucking fed up with the mouse and working for a different company that they went for it. Man, this fucking movie is chock full of Disney jokes. And as a diehard Disney fan, I found it all very funny.
I think this is still DreamWorks' best animated film.
I don't know. How to Train Your Dragon's pretty fucking good. It's beautiful. It's
like
heartfelt.
I like how it is. So is this.
Yeah. No, you're right, but...
And especially when it came out, this one's hilarious.
This
like, there's some
so
funny things in
funny,
How to Train Your Dragon, but this is... I love the comedy.
How to Train Your Dragon's like a great action animated film.
It is.
Like,
it is a great action animated film.
And I'm only saying that this is only a preference thing because... And we can get into this now or later, but admittedly, one of the things I dislike most about Shrek, in fact, one of the only things that I dislike most about Shrek, was the overabundance of its characters used to sell things. Right? Like, there was a while there where you saw all the Shrek characters just constantly fucking selling you shit for Walmart. And,
well, that's
you know,
because it was a popular animated movie.
And I totally
and
understand that. No, and they...
Disney does the same thing with every single one of their characters.
They are a little more deft at it, though.
They've been doing it longer.
You don't see Donald Duck screaming at you to buy Walmart stuff the way that you saw the gingerbread doing it. My only point is that I thought that it was sort of overused, and thus they got all the characters kind of got a little annoying. Whereas I feel in How to Train Your Dragon, they didn't do that as much. They didn't, you know, they made their money off of merchandise, but there wasn't like, you know, fucking Toothless selling me cat food. Or anything nonsensical like that. So that might be the only leg up that it has. Shrek is an incredible film. But I think I prefer the How to Train Your Dragon series more.
Oh, the series, like the trilogy of How to Train Your Dragon is far superior as a trilogy.
And we haven't even watched the third one yet.
I mean, I have.
When?
A long time. Like when it came out.
No, I mean, because, well, our wild tangent.
Yes, my rewatch and you and our son's first watch.
Us and our son are watching the series, and we've gone through the first two already, and we just need to find time for the third. But I prefer How to Train Your Dragon. Shrek, however, has its place in the Museum of Animation History, and it deserves it because this movie's fucking great. Like, you know, I didn't see Shrek in theater. I think by the time when it came out, 2001, my God, I was in high school. I didn't care as much about animated films. I loved Disney, so I didn't really care about, like, somebody's making fun of Disney, like, that's so dumb, or whatever, you know, because I was 15 and stupid. In 2001, I didn't care much about it, and I definitely didn't see it in theater. It was definitely something where somebody was like, you haven't seen Shrek, we're watching it right now. And I was probably like, bleh, bleh. But, you know, then I laughed the entire way through. I don't remember who that person was. Or when it was. I just know for sure I did not see this movie in theater.
When this came out, among my friends, this was like our favorite movie to watch as a group. So anytime we got together, there might be some video games being played. For the most part, it was, hey, put on Trek. And at least it was
really sweet and innocent, because and at least my it friends was in, it was like the Lord of the Rings or the Mummy.
It was in the background. Well, Lord of the Rings wasn't out yet.
True.
I mean,
well,
by the time this came out on DVD,
yeah.
Yes, Lord of the Rings had been
out. By the
out.
Time you were chilling with your friends. But I if I had friends come over, especially pre the VHS release of the Lord of the Rings, or the I guess the DVD release of Lord of the Rings of the Fellowship, I had the bootleg on. Because people would come over and be like, you want to watch the Fellowship of the Ring? And they'd be like, how? It hasn't come out yet. And I'd be like, I have a bootleg. And then I'd put it on and we'd watch that. God, I'm a nerd.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you are. Shrek was directed by Andrew Adamson and Vicky Jensen. Adamson directed Shrek 2 and directed the first two Narnia movies, the 2005 and 2008 ones.
Wait. What? No. No, he didn't. I thought that those movies were directed by literally anybody else.
Literally anybody
no,
else.
No, I thought it was, that wasn't Christopher Columbus that did those first films?
No, Christopher Columbus didn't do...
He produced... Motherfucker! I could have sworn those movies were directed by, like, a bigger name.
No, it's from the guy who did Shrek and Shrek 2, which he did, but both of those before Chronicles of Narnia came out.
Oh, but I...
And Shrek was his first movie he had ever directed.
My brain just broke a little bit. I could have... Like, if you would have put a gun to my head, or if we were at a trivia night, which is a little less violent, and they were like, who directed The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, I 1,000% would have said Christopher Columbus. Or Chris Columbus. Like, I could have sworn it was him. No, but he did the Harry Potter movies. Maybe that's why I'm getting confused.
Maybe you are, yeah.
I thought first Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, though. That's my favorite. I'm currently wearing what I refer to as my reverse Mr. Tumnus pants, because they're very soft and shaggy on the inside.
Well, after that mind-blown moment, Vicky Jensen directed Shark Tale, and that was the end of their career.
Oh, boy.
Which is why that's their only credit that I recognize. Written by William Stieg, who, is, or as far as the writer of the book Shrek, fantasy picture book that came out in 1990. William Stieg wrote it about a repugnant green ogre who leaves home to see the world and ends up marrying an ugly princess. You know, basically the book is like, hey, be comfortable with who you are and how, and your appearance, and
I mean, that's,
you know,
kind of the...
Don't judge other people on their appearance and all. That is the message of the movie as well. So, the writers of the movie screenplay, however, are Ted Elliott and Terry Rossio. They are writing partners because pretty much every project they've worked on, the other one was there as well. They wrote the screenplays for Aladdin and The Mask of Zorro.
Wow.
With Antonio Banderas.
Wait... Aladdin and The Mask of Zorro were written
by the
same
guys.
Couple?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Also Small Soldiers.
Small Soldiers.
You remember
was that,
that one?
The one about the little green plastic men that like
not
came to life?
Green they were like
G.I. Joe's. Yeah, yeah, was it? God, I haven't thought about that movie since it came out.
The Road to El Dorado,
that's a great fucking movie.
Treasure Planet. Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl.
No.
Which
wait, no, is, that's the first one.
That's the first one.
Oh, yeah. No, that's great film.
Which, I mean, when you think
these
about...
Guys have written some bangers.
When you think about, like, Shrek and Aladdin and...
Yeah.
I mean, Mask of Zorro. I mean, these are all movies that put together into a big action-adventure film, and you get Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, they're good at their action stuff. Good for them.
A couple of other writers were also responsible for this screenplay. Like, it was, like, additional writing.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Stillman, who wrote 22 episodes of Beavis and Butthead, plus Beavis and Butthead Do America.
Is that where all the anal jokes
that's
came
where all
in?
the fart jokes.
All the different anal jokes in this movie come from
the humor.
Comes from that.
The humor came from a Beavis and Butthead writer.
There's no other reason. I was going to bring that up, is the obsessive use of anal jokes.
And then lastly, Roger S.H. Shulman was responsible for a lot of television and the animated movie Balto.
A sled dog.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking of Bolt.
No, that's the one John Travolta and Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is legitimately
a good movie. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I think I've watched it once.
I've seen it a couple times. It holds up. It was always a good fucking movie.
Music was done by Harry Gregson Williams,
who I fucking love so goddamn much.
He is
that man is responsible for so much
of my childhood and continuing into my adulthood, like Ants, Chicken Run, the first two Narnia movies he did the music for.
Yeah,
all the Shrek movies.
The music in the Narnia films is great.
Oh yeah, absolutely is great. Man on Fire with Denzel Washington.
He also had a hand in The Crown, I think, or was that his son? That might have been his son.
Well, while you look into that,
yeah.
He also did
The Meg,
Team America, Kingdom of Heaven, which I love the music to Kingdom of Heaven.
Yeah,
The Martian, The Town, The Equalizer, Gladiator 2 was his most recent project. 126 projects. Since 1992.
Yeah, he's...
That's a lot of work in a short amount. Like 33 years, and he's...
a great, underutilized composer.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't get talked about as much as other composers that we talk about on here.
Oh, I think I was thinking of... Yeah, Rupert Gregson Williams is his brother. And he's done the score for The Crown, Wonder Woman, Aquaman... But yeah, he's done, I mean, the Wonder Woman music is incredible. The song's called No Man's Land, and it's the music that plays when she first crests No Man's Land and is walking across in slow motion, and she, like, bats the bullet away, and it makes me ugly cry every fucking time. I listen to that song a lot because it's on a lot of my, like, female empowerment playlists. And then the music for The Crown is...
And
stunning.
This is his son you're talking about?
This is his brother. His brother. So yeah, Rupert and Harry, we love you guys.
This movie had a second composer.
No.
John Powell, who is also a very, very busy composer. He occasionally works on projects with Harry Gregson Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them, but there's like a select few that they've been working on together. But by himself, John Powell has worked on music for Face Off.
Oh.
Evolution with David Duchovny and Orlando Jones.
I love that movie so much.
He did the music for Rat Race and the Bourne franchise, the Kung Fu Panda franchise.
Dang.
The How to Train Your Dragon franchise.
There's fucking pedigrees up on this DreamWorks shit. Like... these guys don't fuck around. These are...
He's the same composer for Solo,
the Han Solo film.
The Han Solo film. And he most recently did the music for Wicked.
And what was his name?
John Powell.
How do I not know this motherfucker?
Recently did the music for Wicked.
For the fact that
he's also doing, because he did the How to Train Your Dragon franchise, he's doing
the
live action.
Doing the music for the live action, yeah. Man. The pedigree. DreamWorks didn't fuck around. DreamWorks is a Steven Spielberg, Jeffrey Kasdan thing, right? I forget who started DreamWorks. I know it was Spielberg.
Spielberg had a hand in it.
Yeah. And when DreamWorks started, they put in the effort and the time and the money to get really good people to work for them because they wanted to be a genuine, you know, not rival of Disney, but they wanted to be on par with Disney. And I think they've achieved it for the most part. There have been some stinkers, but they've put a lot of time and effort into really good people doing their films. And I always kind of appreciated that about DreamWorks. Like they didn't go around it cheaply, if that makes sense. They didn't try to be like, well, let's make the best that we can with the cheapest product. Like they put in the time, they put in the money, and they wanted to be as good as Disney Animation. It's just great that one of their first films was them shitting on Disney Animation, and it made them so much money. But, you know, they didn't fuck around. They set out to make good products, so they got good people.
Shrek was made for $50 million, which, you know, we've talked... I know this is 2001 when this movie came out, but... we've been talking about some animated movies recently that cost four times more than that.
Yeah.
And some of them very successful. Shrek made $268 million domestically.
God damn.
$224 million internationally. Another $14 million on home media, which is kind of low.
Actually, it's a little low.
For a total of $506 million. That's 10 times its budget.
That's amazing. You know, I think this movie also came out at a time where people were ready for someone to take on Disney and to make fun of it. I think that this movie is really good at being both funny for adults and funny for kids. And of course, there are plenty of jokes that you saw as a kid that maybe went over your head a little bit. Then nowadays you're like, oh, my, you know, this movie is really good at being funny for a lot of people. So I'm sure parents didn't mind repeat viewings as much.
You know, talking about going up against Disney or getting back at Disney, they did the same thing when it came to award season.
Yeah, they did.
Because they won 40 awards, including the Oscar for Best Animated Feature.
In its first year. That was the first year they had it.
Oh, was that the very first year?
Yeah, Shrek is the first winner of the Best Animated Feature Oscar.
Ah,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Which, I mean, that is a delightful fuck you to Disney. Because I'm sure Disney was like, an animation Oscar. We're going to get that for sure. And the first year they didn't.
I mean, it was Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
I mean, that was definitely a good contender.
Yeah, and we have to watch Monsters, Inc. soon. I guess we can talk about which one we liked the most then.
And then Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius was the other movie that came out.
Must have been a thin year for animation.
Well, you want to talk about the cast?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Fun cast.
Yeah. Small cast for the most part. You know, there's four main characters, and they are all used well.
They are very much, yeah, four main characters. There's a lot of fun side characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're all done by kind of, well, for the most part, consummate, you know, voiceover actors whose names you don't know and faces you don't know.
Right. Mike Myers, of course, plays Shrek.
Which, is the Shrek franchise the last good thing that he's done?
It's very possible. Between
Austin Powers came before Shrek.
Shrek, I know. But those were like the last two things that were like heavy in.
Until he randomly pops up in like fucking Inglourious Bastards or
I mean, that was a good movie that he was in.
But then when I saw it, I was just like, Mike Myers, I'm taken out of this. Same with Bohemian Rhapsody, especially since he then makes a stupid Wayne's World reference. That made me so angry.
That was...
Because how dare you besmirch the perfection that is Wayne's World.
I mean, Shrek and Austin Powers came out a year back from
each other. So this was genuinely the last great thing that he's done.
Well, Shrek was 2001, Austin Powers and Goldmember. Was 2002, and then Shrek 2 was 2004, and then Shrek the 3 and Shrek 4, Shrek 5 is on its way.
Yeah. One of my favorite things to happen to Mike Myers in the early 2000s is when he was on that, what are they called? Charity, you know, TV show, that live charity TV show, and it was him and Kanye West presenting a little nugget of information about whatever, you know, trying to raise money for probably 9/11. And Kanye West, before Mike Myers could even start talking, Kanye West is like, yo, George W. Bush doesn't care about black people. And then you just see Mike Myers' brain break and his eyes get huge as Kanye West goes on this rant about our president at the time hating black people. And it's so funny and it's so awkward, and Mike Myers was just blindsided by this whole thing, and he's just like, oh, what do I do. It's so funny.
I think you and I would agree that Mike Myers' best film he's ever done is Wayne's World.
Absolutely.
I think there's a contest.
Wayne's World daily, even if it's just to myself. If I hear something or see something or am listening to Bohemian Rhapsody, like, I quote Wayne's World daily, and it's almost a little sad but I do. I have no regrets. Like Wayne's World, The Lord of the Rings, and 30 Rock are probably the three things that the quotes come out of my mouth most often, including just to no one.
Then we have Eddie Murphy as Donkey.
Possibly his greatest role.
It's a great role. It's a great character.
Even though it's just Eddie Murphy being Eddie Murphy, there's such a warmth and love to Donkey.
He's such a
and just
warm,
the,
friendly,
the way he positive. Moves. He's like this chubby dog or like a pony or something. The way that he moves cracks me up. His little legs and his big fat belly. I love Donkey. He's my favorite character in all the Shrek franchise. I can't think of another character I love more than him.
No, yeah, Donkey's he's the heart of the movies.
Yeah.
He's like he can start to get a little annoying.
He can
as
be
it
a bit
goes,
much. Yeah.
Especially in 2.
It's been so long. I know they're watching 2 soon, but it's been so long since I've seen 2.
Yeah, and 1 and 2 are the only ones on the list.
Yeah, like the active sequels on the list.
Yes.
Yeah. Consecutive.
And then eventually we do have a spin-off of Shrek 2
yeah.
to watch. The third spin-off of a sequel.
In our podcast?
Yes. We're doing Puss in Boots.
Yes.
The Last Wish.
But you said the third, so what are the
other
two? Well,
Puss in Boots, no, I mean, I meant to say that Puss in Boots is the third movie of its franchise.
Yes.
That was a spin-off
yes.
of the second movie of a franchise.
Which is crazy.
And
a lot of people, I mean, it wasn't, we'll get to it when we watch it, but The Last Wish was like people fucking loved it.
Oh, yeah.
They say it's the best Shrek movie of all. Like, it's the best movie in the film
it's
franchise.
It's definitely the best Puss in Boots movie.
Yeah.
And it quite possibly could be better than Shrek 1
and
2.
Who saw that coming?
Well, yeah, especially since Puss in Boots 2
yeah.
was straight to home video.
Yeah.
Straight to Disney Plus
they
or whatever.
They had a good story to tell. I haven't
they did
seen
have
that
a good
film,
story to tell.
And I cannot wait to watch it.
The animation is not the normal.
Yeah, it's hand-drawn or more hand-drawn.
It's a combo.
Yeah.
It's very, it reminded me, there are parts that remind me a lot of the Ninja Turtles movie that came out.
Oh, yeah.
Not
yeah.
too long ago, the animated one, like a year or two ago. So that was a big, that was something I was just like, this has a style to it, and everything worked. The story, the characters, the music, the adventure.
I can't wait to watch it. Yeah.
I can't wait for you to see it.
Yeah.
But back to Shrek, the original, the movie that started it all for not only for DreamWorks, but as a franchise, this is the catalyst that got all that going. And I still, to this day, enjoy watching it.
Yeah, Shrek's great.
It's got a solid story. It's got a solid soundtrack. You know, last week we did Forrest Gump, and we were talking about how the soundtrack, the needle drops that Gump
so obnoxious.
Does is just constantly and repetitive and
cliched.
And just the choices and when they're played are just overdone and just exhausting. Mm-hmm. It makes for just made the movie.
It takes you out of the film a bit. But no, the soundtrack
one,
for Shrek is incredible. I pulled
great choices.
Up the playlist or the track list. While I don't recognize a whole lot of these bands, per se, I will say that fucking Smash Mouth is a forever banger. And I mean all Smash Mouth. I'm not just talking All Star, which is a forever banger of a fucking song.
All Star is the anthem of millennials. It's a millennial anthem song.
And when you listen to the lyrics, it's really hopeful. And it's really positive and uplifting. I think a lot of people make fun of it these days because it's fucking All Star by Smash Mouth, but like it's a legitimately good song and it's a fucking banger.
Every time it comes on at work, mm-hmm.
everybody
sings along.
Yeah,
I love those kind of songs.
Yeah, I fucking that's a great. And then their cover of I'm a Believer is also really really good.
Yeah,
and the other song that really I think is the most prominently known, Rufus Rainbow. Right, that's my speech impediment coming in there. Rufus Rainwright's version of Hallelujah. I'm just gonna muster through that sentence because that was a struggle. Everybody and my mother has done a cover of Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen, And every single cover of that song is better than the original because the original song is awful. Like, Rufus's version is phenomenal. And although I don't know how well the lyrics fit the scene, I think the tone of the song fits the scene that it's in. And I'll just forever love that song. It's such a beautiful song, except for the original version, which is garbage.
Damn.
Yeah, well, look, you've
Rest
heard
in
it.
Peace, Leonard Cohen.
Thank you for writing it, but it's how, like, you know, fucking Hendrix's version of All Along the Watchtower is superior to Bob Dylan's version, and Bob Dylan wrote the goddamn song. Just saying, sometimes some songs are better off covered.
Yeah, sometimes somebody like Johnny Cash comes around and
fucking devastates you
with a Nine Inch Nails song.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, sometimes the covers are better.
Back to the cast, we've got Cameron Diaz as Princess Fiona.
Which is also probably one of my favorite things she's ever done. I enjoy Cameron Diaz to an extent, but that extent is usually about 90 minutes into one of her films.
Yeah, I mean, I loved her in There's Something About Mary. I am one of the few people who like Vanilla Sky.
You do like Vanilla Sky. I didn't see her Charlie's Angels because I didn't care. She's done a lot of...
You never saw her Charlie's Angels?
No, because I didn't care. At all.
Oh, man.
You know, she's done a lot of rom-coms, and... I don't know, like, I don't dislike the woman. I just don't really like her. She hasn't done a whole lot of stuff that I've seen that I've enjoyed. Now, I have never seen The Holiday, but apparently that is a great film. With Rachel Weisz and Jack Black and Jude Law.
I mean, I still remember seeing her for the first time in The Mask.
Yeah, The Mask is terrible, but fun. In the way that it hasn't aged well.
Amazing
it
film.
It really hasn't aged well, but it does have the Royal Crown Review in it, and I love them. Yeah, you know, Cameron Diaz is great. Like, she's there. She's made a career out of doing her own shit, and you know, good for her.
Then as the Lord Farquaad, oh we've got I love John Lithgow
so
much.
Fucking much. The fact that they got John Lithgow, one of the taller men in Hollywood, to play Lord Farquaad, who is so tiny, is so funny. What a weird, delightful insight, like nuanced joke, I should say, not inside, but nuanced.
Wow. He's 6'4".
Yeah. He's great as Lord Farquaad. First of all, I love that his name is basically Lord Fuckwad. I also love that he was based after Michael Eisner, I think. Like, he's kind of supposed to be based on Michael Eisner, which is another jab at Disney. John Lithgow throws himself body and soul into every role that he plays, whether it's him fucking around on 30 Rock or breaking my heart on The Crown or, you know, chasing after Bigfoot and Harry and the Hendersons. Like, he's just so fucking good.
I watched him mostly on Third Rock from the Sun,
which I watched some of. I never fully got into that one, but it was kind of, honestly, it was French Stewart's fault. I found him so annoying that I couldn't watch the rest of the series.
Yeah, he's an alien.
Yeah, I know.
I got over it.
Yeah.
I love everybody on Third Rock from the Sun. Is one of those movies, or one of those TV shows, that I would love to just start
plow through. Yeah, I think you can.
I'm pretty sure you can.
Yeah. But John Lithgow is great. And, you know, he's getting older now, but long may he reign, because I love that motherfucker.
We've had a lot of character actors and voice actors that are playing different Disney characters or fairy tale characters.
There are only two that I specifically recognize.
Yeah, Jim Cummings, of course.
Yeah, I mean, for fuck's sake, he's Winnie the Pooh, he's Tigger. But no, Jim Cummings is everybody, and we love him so very much. And then Vincent Cassel, who is a French actor, usually plays bad guys, but I mainly know him for having been Monica Bellucci's ex-husband, which makes me so damn jealous of him, because she is the most beautiful woman on this planet. And he played Monsieur Hood.
Monsieur Hood.
Which is great that they could get Vincent Cassel to come in and do such a dumb little part.
Yeah.
And one of the things I like most about Shrek 1, the cast was these four big actors and then just a bunch of, you know, other people, smaller people, veteran character voiceover actors.
Yeah.
Whereas in, you know, Shrek 2 and Shrek 3, it started to become like, you know, we're gonna pop more celebrities into it, and, you know, like more celebrities are gonna have cameos and bit parts because it was popular. But I like in the beginning when it's just this ragtag team of people.
Yeah, it's an odd foursome.
It is. Like, I couldn't imagine seeing a movie.
Yeah, you wouldn't normally see these four together in a movie.
I imagine that there was a possibility that we could see Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, and Cameron Diaz in a film together. I don't imagine that John Lithgow would be there. Although, he does seem to be the kind of guy that will do anything for a paycheck, so maybe he would be.
I don't know about anything.
Well, no. But, you know, I think that if he wants to have fun and he's getting paid, he's going to do it, even if it is a little dumb.
That's Mike Myers.
Oh, fuck no. Mike Myers just makes shit. Like, I'm sorry. Myers he's just fashion. Like, all I could think of is The Love Guru, which is beyond terrible.
That was a choice. Somebody that chose so to many make choices, that.
And they were and all wrong.
And at no point did somebody just be like,
I don't think we should do this.
Can we just hold on just for 1 minute?
Have we ever met an actual Indian man?
Should we just take a step back and look at what we're doing and tell ourselves, is this worth millions of dollars?
Oh, it's so bad. But I don't know, like, he does get a pass eternally because fuck do I love Wayne's World just so much.
Did you know that Nicolas Cage was initially offered the role of Shrek?
That would have been something.
He turned it down because he did not want to look like an ogre.
That makes sense for the vanity of Nicolas Cage. Like, it actually makes a lot of sense.
I know, when you think about it, you're like, but it's animation. You're not actually looking like an ogre.
Yeah, but kids will always associate him with an ogre. His
voice with an ogre. Yeah. He's, later, he explained in a different interview that when you're drawn in a way, it says more about how children are going to see you than anything else, and I so care about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, that all of that tracks for Nicolas fucking Cage.
Another person who was even closer to being Shrek was Chris Farley.
Yeah, Chris Farley actually recorded a lot of it.
He was initially hired to voice Shrek, and he recorded almost all the dialogue. According to David Spade, Chris Farley only had 5 days left of voice work for the movie.
Oh.
And then he died.
You know, and it's an eternal bummer that Chris Farley went out the same way as Belushi, you know, his absolute hero. It's a shame that Chris Farley went at all because he was so fucking funny. And he would have done great and terrible things had he still been around.
I so wish I could hear. Like, there's that much recorded. I wish I could hear.
There was a leak of some of the footage. I think it's all, like, animatics, but there
it
is.
It has to be, because they... when
this movie took so long to get made.
Well, because when, upon Mike Myers' request, they rewrote the entire script from Shrek's point of view, so Shrek's lines, because he didn't want
to copy
anything that Chris Farley had done.
I know for sure that you can find it on the internet. You can find footage of him out there. You know, it's a shame that we lost Chris Farley. You know, who knows what the Chris Farley Shrek would have been like? I know that Janine Garofalo was attached to it, and she was playing Princess Fiona, and that was a more sarcastic, you know, role basically than anything. And you know, I'm not unhappy that we didn't get Janine Garofalo as Princess Fiona, because Cameron Diaz does such a great job. And as much as I miss Chris Farley, I am glad that we got the Mike Myers version, because it's one of those things that, like, you can't picture this film with anybody else in it because it's so perfect. But part of you does wonder what that other film probably would have been closer to the story of the book, I imagine.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah, instead of what it became.
Right.
But I'm glad that it's what it became.
Sure.
We might not be talking about it if Chris Farley had done it.
Yeah. I mean, not that he would have done a bad job, or that the movie would have been bad, but it definitely would have been different. And I feel like this movie specifically is beloved because of exactly what this storyline is.
Yeah. And how bright it is and how funny it is. You know, this movie is beautifully made. Obviously, it's aged in its own animation way. It's still such a beautiful film. And the fire effects are so great.
I was just going to add that the movie was actually recorded for a third time.
Oh, boy.
Because after Mike Myers was done recording it, he asked, and that, you know, the movie was animated and everything, he asked to redo all of his lines, but in a Scottish accent.
Yeah, because originally he was Canadian.
Yeah, so yeah. He was, his voice as Shrek reminds me a lot of Fat Bastard from...
Yes.
Because it's
another Scottish accent. Another
Scottish accent.
Get that in my belly. I got a question for you, Kate Man.
Okay.
How often do you quote the Muffin Man bit?
Oh, too often.
Too often. I don't think the word muffin could be said within a 10-foot radius of us.
Muffin or Muffin Man, like especially Muffin Man.
Or
like,
just do you know blank?
Yeah, do you know?
Don't you know the Muffin Man? The Muffin Man?
The Muffin Man.
Not the gumdrop buttons.
You.
I mean, it's monthly at least.
Feels like it.
That quote gets said out loud amongst my coworkers, myself, my boss, you, the kids.
I mean, it's, somebody starts at work. If I said the Muffin Man, somebody else would be like,
the Muffin Man.
Yeah. Somebody else across the room
starts over the entire quote.
Right. And,
like, it's one of those things that has permeated our pop culture existence on a cellular level. And I just don't... I mean, obviously, do you know the Muffin Man is a nursery rhyme, right? And it's been around forever. But I guarantee goddamn to you, anybody from... you know what, Gen Xers up, knows when they hear the term the Muffin Man, they automatically think of this movie. And you know what? Good for Lithgow for being a part of that. You know, like, I would dare say that the most famous lines of this film were spoken by John Lithgow. Because I think that the Muffin Man bit might be more popular than any of Shrek's lines. Maybe Donkey might have a few above him. Because, like, in the morning, I'm making waffles. That is another line.
Oh, there are plenty of...
There's so many quotable lines in this
plenty
movie.
Of lines. A lot of them from Donkey. Some of them from Shrek. Some of them from Fiona. But I'd say...
But the Muffin Man bit and the waffles bit, I guarantee you, are probably the most popular. In fact, folks, why don't you go ahead and write us at moviemingopod@gmail.com and tell us the lines from Shrek that you quote the most, because we know you have one.
And include your favorite waffle or favorite way to eat waffles.
Oh my God, I want a waffle so badly.
Waffles sound really good right
like
now.
Like the bacon waffle that I used to get at that one place. Yeah. Oh, fuck. You know what song I've always hated?
What's that?
That Bad Reputation song. I don't give a damn about my bad reputation. Yeah, I think that it's stupid. I think that it's overused and has thus, stop it, become a bit of a cliche. It's awful. And it's one of those songs that when I hear it in a movie, it almost takes me out a little bit. It's a little just like, in this movie again. Like, I just don't like it. And so I will say that is the one bummer about this particular movie. I also didn't like the stupid Matrix reference. But again, that's because it has been done so much.
Yeah. I mean,
that I'm over it.
2 years after the Matrix came out.
Yeah.
So it was in pop culture already and very much already being used in live action and other live action movies besides the Matrix.
And so to see it in an animated film, because since animation takes so much longer, you're just sort of like, all right, we'll talk about it when we watch The Matrix, because we do have to watch it for this podcast. Much like Forrest Gump and other films, it's become so much of a parody of itself, The Matrix has, that when I see references to it, I'm automatically just like, ugh, dumb.
You're no fun.
I just It's not my favorite thing. And it's been, not even if it's not my favorite thing, it's been overused to the point where I don't care about it anymore. Like, I'm not excited to see a Matrix reference ever in a film because I'm just like, really? You couldn't have come up with anything better than that?
I couldn't believe that this movie's already 24 years old.
Yeah! I mean, I just, time flies way too fucking fast. What, I was a sophomore in 2001? I was an infant.
Is Duloc the perfect place?
No, because it definitely seems like the type of place that if you act out, you're kicked out or murdered or something.
Keep your tush in your face clean.
Yes.
Shine your shoes.
Wipe your face. So that actually does bring me to a really good point, which I brought up slightly earlier. There is way too much ass jokes. There are way too many ass jokes in this movie. This movie is so anally focused that it kind of makes you wonder.
Fart jokes more than
it's a lot of
ass not, hole jokes.
I'm not talking straightly like, I'm not talking about like sex play here, but it's a lot of anus jokes. It's a lot. It's farts. It's seeing butts. It's referencing butts. It's anytime Shrek gets the call donkey and ass. Like, it's just too much ass. The Shrek has too much ass play for my liking.
Not enough.
Well, that's your liking.
That's why I love this movie.
And I just think that, like, it's sort of like how we have the family version of Cards Against Humanity. For mainly no other reason than I think we were pretending that we're better parents than we actually are. But we do have the family-friendly version of Cards Against Humanity. And that also has a lot of, like, fart and poop jokes. And at a certain point...
You of all people?
Me of all people, who today said, farts are always funny. And it's true. I'm just saying that, like, it's not... It can be more than just fart jokes. And I get that they were trying to play up to an audience of adults, too, who are stuck watching it with their kids.
Kids are going to laugh at fart jokes.
I was just shocked at the amount of ass play in Shrek. That's all I'm saying.
It's not ass play.
But I want to call it ass.
Get off the ass.
That's what I said last night. Rim shot.
That was the real noise.
I think that... Because we've all seen Shrek 1,000 times. Caveman and I have seen Shrek 1,000 times. When you watch a movie so much, or you haven't seen a movie in so long, and then you sit down and you have to view it with a critical eye, so to speak, it changes how you appreciate the film. So while I was giggling the entire time and enjoying Shrek, I was also in the back of my mind like, man, that's one too many fart jokes. That's one too many ass jokes. The fact that I'm saying that is kind of a shocker. You know, you have to view these things differently for the show, right? We have to view it with a more critical eye. We have to view it, you know, with an in-depth attention that otherwise I don't think I ever would have given Shrek. And part of that was being like, there's a lot of ass play in Shrek. I'm not saying it makes the movie worse. I was just shocked by that.
I something that I don't think I ever catch a lot when I rewatch Shrek is how much Shrek is excited to cook for Fiona. Like, before he overhears her mistakenly,
talking about herself,
not him.
Yeah.
He was listing off all the different kinds of dishes that he could make for her.
Mm-hmm.
He was so excited. I love that Shrek's love language is cooking for somebody that he likes.
You know, you do kind of see his foodie side in the beginning, right before his swamp is overran.
Yeah.
Where he's like sitting down with his drink and his food and making everything special. It's...
And then later, she makes him a...
quail eggs.
Eggs, yes. But then later, she gives him like a cotton candy-esque spider web with flies in it.
And she like licks her fingers.
And which I think because... She made that for him.
Yeah.
I think he got excited that somebody else is into making food.
Mm-hmm.
And just the food nerd in him came out.
Well, ogres are like onions. They've got layers.
They've got layers.
And it is neat to see. I love tidbits where you get to see a character's, like, love language. And I'm talking about anything. You know, seeing the passion that somebody has for... cooking, for reading, for a particular show or movie, whatever. Like, seeing somebody's nerdy side definitely, for me, kind of makes me love that character all the more. So it is cute to see Shrek's love language. I really like the montage of them falling in love with each other. I think it's so cute.
Blowing up the snake and the frog.
Yes. And then they just let him float away. This poor fucking animals. Frog. And just, yeah, watching them, like, get to know each other. And, you know, obviously she has to overcome the fact that he's an ogre, because at least at that point we think she's a regular kind of slightly spoiled and vapid, you know, princess.
Right.
I think it's really sweet. I didn't ever fully understand Donkey and the Dragon, though, because, like,
why not?
She's big.
Doesn't matter.
And he is so small.
Yeah.
And, I mean, interspecies-wise, how does that... I mean, they have children.
Donkeys with wings, essentially.
How does that work?
Because it's animated and it's funny.
It is funny. The dragon is a boss bitch. She has shit done. And yeah, I'd like to think that
it's a really cute story that they probably thought was just really funny to do when they were in the writer's room. And,
yeah.
You know...
What if the dragon was a girl and she fell in love with Donkey?
And they could have ended it like that, but I love that throughout all the Shrek movies, that they are still
He's devoted to his wife.
Yeah.
He's a wife guy.
They have kids.
Donkey is totally a wife guy.
I love that relationship in these movies. I like that relationship more than I care about Shrek and Fiona.
Yeah, actually. Well.
Especially as the movies go on.
Yeah, as the movies progress. This movie's great. I feel like I love when we do these animated episodes, because I feel like it's because we've seen these movies so often and everybody has seen these movies so often. It allows us to run off on tangents and get goofy. And we hope that you folks enjoy that too, because, like, what do you say about Shrek, right? But when you're talking about Shrek, other shit comes up and then you run with it.
You start thinking about the movie and then you like, oh, remember that scene? That's an interesting thing that happened.
What is your favorite scene in Shrek?
Boy, it used to be, I was gonna say it was probably at one time when Fiona kicks the butts of all the the merry men and Robin Hood, just because
it's a Matrix reference.
It's fun and it's a Matrix reference it's funny, and watching Fiona kick Robin Hood's ass is, you know, entertaining. There's so many moments I love. I love the introduction of characters like Pinocchio. I really like when they escape the castle with the dragon after they've rescued Fiona. And
rope bridges will always terrify
me. They're running away. There's slow motion. The fire explosions and running off the, you know, and trapping the dragon. You know, it's all just fun, silly moments. The bit with the gingerbread man is classic and will always be remembered. And, you know, there's a moment, I don't know why, it's such a silly, dumb joke, but I crack up every single time that it comes on. But it's when the Lord Farquaad's, like, right-hand man who looks, I think he's wearing, like, an executioner's hood or whatever, and he's trying to pick which princess
in, like, the dating show style game.
Yeah, that he's like, three, my lord, and he's holding up two fingers. It's just...
I think that my favorite bit might be our introduction to Donkey and... not only our introduction to Donkey when he refuses to talk, but then he starts to fly away.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, just shit-talking all of them.
And he then, starts talking, yeah. Like... He's a talking donkey. He's talking.
But I love when Donkey is following Shrek along and is just talking nonstop. And the line with, and in the morning, I'm making waffles. I don't know. There's something about the sweetness of Donkey and how annoyed Shrek is that never fails to make me giggle. I love their friendship. And I'm really glad that we have these silly, dumb little films, because they are silly and dumb, but god damn it, they're just so funny.
Disney villains always have some crazy wild way that they are taking care of or die. I mean, Beauty and the Beast,
Gaston death is,
falls off the
falls off the castle.
In guy Tarzan. From Tarzan.
Yeah, who gets fucking hung.
Hung from a tree branch.
Oh, it's so good. With, Ursula exploding into a bunch of tiny little chunks.
So to not be left behind, DreamWorks has to make their mark, and now
yes.
they kill off a villain. And it was very unexpected.
Yes.
You do not expect the dragon to just be like, just take him out. And like, yeah. And he's gone.
And that's it.
And that one yell he gets as the dragon like opens his mouth one more her mouth one last time before eating him is just, it's perfect.
I will have order! I will have perfection! I will have... All right, nobody move. I got a dragon here and I'm not afraid to use it.
I don't know if he was as bad. Well,
like, did he deserve it?
He wasn't a great guy.
No. And he would have been a huge problem for them.
Especially as a king. The fact that he was in charge of all that whole kingdom.
Well, he was a regent, though. He wasn't a king. Because he wasn't of royal blood.
No, I know. I'm saying as king.
Uh-huh.
Like,
he would have been awful.
It would have been.
I've got one final thing to talk about with Shrek. You've heard me talk once or twice or a few times about my love for Power Wash Simulator.
Yeah.
The video game where you quite literally just power wash houses and cars and shit. And it's so soothing. And every time you hear the little ding when you've completed something, it is instant serotonin. It's perfect. But one of their DLC packs was the Shrek DLC pack. And I have been struggling to get through it because I have to clean the fairy godmother's potion factory.
Oh, jeez.
And it's massive. And it's one of those things, it's taken me so long to put a dent into this fucking... I cleaned Shrek's house in no time. That was super easy. But fucking this fairy godmother's factory has been insane. But it is really fun, and because... Not only are there a bunch of, like, little funny inside jokes to Shrek, but, like, I also got to clean the little welcome information box in Duloc, and they did their little dance. They didn't sing the song, but they did their little dance, and it was really fucking cute. Oh, and it takes the picture of them, and they're just like, the fuck? I love it. That might be my second favorite part of Shrek, is the little song, the little, yeah. Like, It's a Small World marionettes sing. Caveman, what do you rate Shrek?
I give Shrek a big ol' 4 stars. Boom, 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 boom. 4 stars.
I agree. It's not the best animated film ever made. There are some parts of it that I find questionable.
Oh, all those...
All that ass play.
All that ass play.
All that ass play in Shrek. Movie. Like, I was just like,
No, lose a star. Yeah, too much ass.
But no, it's fucking, it's Shrek. Like, of course it's the Lisa Ford star movie. It's it's great. It will stand the test of time, and I'm glad for that because of the way that it constantly makes fun of Disney and constantly pokes fun at fairy tales in general. And the humor that it has. Like, it's a great little film, and I'm glad that it's a classic.
So, Maggie.
Yes, Caveman.
I have 2 questions for you.
Hit it.
In the military, rank means everything. In USDB, it means nothing.
Is that from Final Frontier? No.
Not Triple Frontier.
Triple Frontier.
No.
That wasn't?
No.
Wait, play it again.
In the military, rank means everything. In USDB... means nothing.
I got you. Got me.
2021's The Card Counter.
I never watched this. See, there's so many fucking Oscar movies.
He plays a character named William Tell.
Oh, God, that's bad. One of the main reasons I didn't see that is that his love interest was
Tiffany Haddish.
Yes. And I was just like, I don't buy Tiffany Haddish in a role like this. Which was the main reason I never watched it. For the fact that I fucking love that man so much, there's so much of his shit I haven't seen. I really should fix that, but I'm so picky. Even if William Tell is a stupid fucking name for a character who's also a card counter, who's also a special ops.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know exactly what this movie, like, he's an ex-military interrogator living under the radar as low-stakes gambler.
Yeah.
And then he encounters a young man looking to commit revenge against a mutual enemy, takes him on the casino circuit to set him on a new path.
Yeah, see, like...
What a weird combo of, like, ex-military...
Tiffany Haddish is the love interest. Like, it didn't look good to me, which is why I haven't seen it. I was like, okay.
Well, the scene that I pulled that audio from, too, continues with him, like, grabbing some guy... prison inmate's food off of his tray.
Yeah.
And the inmate like punches him a couple times. But the way that Oscar Isaac, after each time he gets punched, he like stands up and then gets right back, like right in the guy's face. It's like a really weird scene after that moment.
Yeah, again, there are a couple reasons I haven't seen that movie, and one of them is that it just didn't really fucking look good. But like you do you, Oscar.
So, Maggie.
Yes.
Would the presence of Oscar Isaac have made Shrek even better?
No. Because it's another one of those takes of like, he didn't need to be there. And how do you perfect perfection, right? Like, how do you take away any of those four main characters and put in Oscar Isaac's gorgeous voice? It would just would be weird, right?
Sure.
We wouldn't be used to it.
But question number two.
Yeah, no, that's a
which
tough one.
Character would you have had Oscar Isaac play?
Well, you know, he probably could have done a really god. Well, no, I don't know if he has the humor in him to do Lord Farquaad. I don't know. He could have been like the captain of the guards that Jim Cummings played, like one of the, you know, like one of the head guards, you know. He could have been one of the merry men of Robin Hood's little, you know, his little thing. I don't know who Peter Dennis is. And I bet you if I looked at his IMDb, I'd be like, oh, him. But he could have been the ogre hunter. You know, like, I don't think we could have replaced Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, or John Lithgow as Oscar Isaac. And, Princess Fiona as Oscar Isaac would have been a choice, especially for 2001. So... I guess if I had to choose, it would have been, like, Ogre Hunter. Because beyond that, there's kind of nobody, right? Like, I don't think
he could be Pinocchio. He could do a high-pitched, I'm a real boy.
I mean, like, he did some weird voices on SNL, but I haven't heard enough of Oscar Isaac's weird-ass voice.
Oh, I bet he could do it.
To know whether or not he could be that level of goofy. Like, I don't see, you know, he's put on some accents before, but they're not all winners. Like, if you've watched WE or We, I still don't actually know what that movie's called, if it's We or WE. He had a weird accent in that weird, weird movie with Elizabeth Olsen. He also had a weird accent. Like, I love the man, but... And that has been this week's episode of Movie Mingle on Shrek, and we hope that you enjoyed it as much as we've enjoyed bringing it to you. This upcoming Saturday, we will be dropping our January bonus episode on the 1959 classic Some Like It Hot, which is one of the greatest comedies of all time, and a personal favorite of Cape Man and I's. So I'm excited to talk about that one for sure. Next week on our regularly scheduled episodes, we're getting into a chunk of movies I'm not super excited about, starting with Seven, one of the films my mom said I could never watch. So sorry, Mom, you might want to skip that episode. Yeah, that's going to be a rough one, folks, but we're in it to win it, and... we hope you join us then. You can always find us on Letterboxd, Threads, and Instagram at Movie Mingle Pod. You can write us at moviemingle@gmail.com, and you can find our YouTube channel, Movie Mingle Podcast, over there. please feel free to rate and review us, give us 5 stars or whatever you feel like we deserve, and tell your friends about us, because again, we really want to get the word out about our silly little show that we love so much. And yeah, tell your family, tell your friends, tell the movie nerds in your life, tell that one person who's seen Shrek way too many times to give him a listen. We look forward to you joining us on the next episode of Movie Mingle, but until then, go out, make some waffles, and go mingle. Bye!
No, not the buttons! Not my gumdrop buttons!
Are you an effective team?
We are an effective team.
Let them fight.
How did you just do that?
I'm a really good lawyer.
Here on Caladan, we've ruled by air power and sea power. On Arrakis, we need to cultivate desert power.
Welcome, Mr. Beach. What's that bar?
I'm a little confused.
Well, we wouldn't want that, would we?
I don't want to brag, but I will. I was in the Avengers.
The Avengers?
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you.
What is that?
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Toga, 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 toga.